This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's the most beautiful religion, the most peaceful religion. You'll find inner peace within yourself. You'll be away from all the depressions and all the distractions of the world. That doesn't mean that you won't go through any trials and tribulations. Of course you would. That's part of being a human being. Even the messengers of Allah, peace be upon them, all of them, they went through more trials and tribulations than us. But there'll be some other type of inner peace that you will gain that you cannot get there in any money. You could have the best job and the best car, but you won't get that peace. Al-ghina, ghina, ghina nafs. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ. Ghina and real richness, being wealthy is not with a lot of objects and items and wealth, you know, physical wealth. إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Real richness and being wealthy is the ghina, the wealth of the heart, the richness of the heart. You could have a lot in terms of materialistic things, but if you don't have that peace and contentment of the heart, then there's no benefit. And there are people there who are mega rich, no peace whatsoever. They don't have even time to eat. We sometimes eat, you know, better food than them and relax. There are people who, you know, have barely, you know, just a few things to make ends meet, but the type of sleep they go through, the multimillionaire can't have that kind of sleep. He's taking tablets. He's using his millions to take medication to sleep because he's got so much pressure on his head. And this person has just got a house on rent and a small job there, and he sleeps and snores like, you know, never going to wake up. He wakes up 10 o'clock. That's what you want. That's what relaxation is in this world. That's the real peace. You have a simple life, you know, where you can pray your prayers and you have a small house. It doesn't matter. Who wants the mansion? It's 70 years of life. You want to spend all day and night for 70 years of life. The next life is eternal. How many years? 600 years? 600 million years? Eternity. You're going to be there. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا وَاعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا. Work for your this life as long as you're going to live here, and work for your next life for as long as you're going to live there. Look at the comparison. 70 years, nowadays average, 60, 65. I asked a doctor, a few doctors, medical experts, so what's the average nowadays? It's about 60. If you're over 30, you're going downhill. I've said this a few times as well. I said, you're going up like a log flume, you know? You know the log flume boat? 29, 30, now it's going down. And that's going to take a leap. And when you become 31, you don't become 31, you're actually 29. You're going backwards now. 29, 28, 27, 26. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 0. You're dead. Gone. 60 years. And it goes like this. You know, people were talking about millennium coming. Do you remember some of you? Millennium, Imam Mahdi is coming. You know, they were talking about Imam Mahdi. Now, people like to get fascinated about these kind of things. You know, that's another topic. You know, our communities, they love, you know, they thrive on, you know, like some aubergine, Allah's name coming out from it, and, you know, sending text messages and some YouTube videos, a woman's turning to lizard, or leave all that. I mean, most of it's all hoax anyway. Seriously. We need to work. For us, our Islam is so strong that, I can find 10 aubergines with hundreds of names of Allah. It's not going to change a thing for me. That's how our iman should be. And the Quran says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Your iman is increased by the recitation of the Quran, not by saying Allah's name in an aubergine. Don't get too fascinated about these things. You know, these things, okay, alhamdulillah, if it's there, if it's there. If it's not, it doesn't make a difference to me. Because tomorrow, a Hindu might come and say, it's written Aram in there. Do you understand? It could happen. You know, so anything could, you know, like, you can just figure it anyway. You know, it's like one brother say, I can see Allah written on the cloud. I said, I can see Shaitan as well, if you look at it this way. Yeah, if you looked at it that way, you could actually literally say Shaitan. You know, so don't get too fascinated about these things. Real for us, Islam is Quran and Sunnah, Allah and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statements and practicing them. We are punctual with our prayers. It doesn't make a difference to us. So the first point, going back, that we become active Muslims, we make sure that Islam is not cultural, we're more Islamic than being, you know, practicing on our culture. Islam comes before, over and above our own cultures. We practice Islam in a total way, in a total manner, and we enter into Islam completely, totally. As you know, there is no separation of church and state in Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. There is no Islam is everywhere. At your workplace, marriages, at home, you know, you're walking on the road, even driving a car, there are rules of Islam even when you drive a car, when you take a bus. You're a Muslim. You're a Muslim when you are home. You're a Muslim when you are working in a factory. You're a Muslim if you're at the school or college or university campus. You're a Muslim when you're a father. You're a Muslim when you're a mother. You're a Muslim when you're a son or a daughter. You're a Muslim outside, inside. When you're driving a car, you're on the London Underground Tube Network. Wherever you are, you have to realize that I am a Muslim. Islam doesn't stop once you come out of the masjid. Even at home, even when you're driving a car, you're a Muslim. Okay? So, we need to really realize this. And we need to enter Islam totally, completely. Now, in terms of marriage, you know, this is, you must be thinking, this guy's not even talking about marriage. What's happening? This topic is all about marriage, you know. What is it saying? This, I really like this, mashallah. It's beautiful. Love hearts and all sorts of stuff, you know. Oh, the brothers here, probably. I don't know. Ancestors as well. Maybe, I don't know, come to find some potential spouses or what, but... Marriage, I mean, there are certain things in marriage, you know, I gave that talk and I made certain notes of that, some things that we have in, you know, I just want to talk about just 3-4 points about marriage and divorce. The first point, which is related to what I was just talking about, this, what I just talked about right now was an introduction, really. Now, this first point regarding marriage is connected to the introduction. It follows on from the introduction, which is that in Islam, marriage is considered to be an act of ibadah. It's an act of ibadah. It's an act of worshipping Allah. And we have to realize, marriage is not a normal, mundane, worldly act. It's not like, you know, I mean, everything really becomes ibadah if you do it with the right intention anyway. Even driving a car can be an act of ibadah. But there are differences. You know, if Islamically there's two types of actions. Some things are act of ibadah in of themselves. Fi ذاتها, fi نفسها, fi نفسه وفي ذات, in of itself. Like salah itself, it's an act of ibadah. Fasting itself, act of ibadah. Zakat in itself is an act of ibadah. Do you understand? Yeah, there are two types of actions that a human being does. A Muslim doesn't. Some things are ibadah in of themselves, by nature, direct acts of ibadah. And there are other activities that we do that can be potentially acts of ibadah, but they are not directly, or they're not designed specifically, exclusively as ibadah, but with your good intention, Allah will make it into an act of ibadah. So everything else in the world, drinking, you know, I'm drinking this right now, water, I'm making intention, I'm drinking this water because this is the bounty and gift and ni'mah from Allah. I will thank Allah, the energy, you know, and that I will get, inshallah, I'll speak more, and inshallah, I'll benefit, you'll benefit, and Allah reward us. And so with that intention, God reward, alhamdulillah. It's an act of ibadah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Everything we do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the nature of Islam. So everything you do in this world, potentially even going and studying at the university, even taking a degree in law and medicine. Medicine is a very good area to take a degree in. I mean, the Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu used to say, al-ilmu ilman, ilmu al-fiqh lil-adiyan wa ilmu al-tibb lil-abdan. Muslims used to give a lot of importance to medicine. And whatever degree, so everything can potentially become an act of ibadah, right? With the right intention. But there are two types of things. Some things, they need a good intention to be made an act of ibadah. They're not exclusively designed, like this drinking of water, or driving a car, or doing something worldly, like eating, drinking, things like that. But there are other activities which are specifically, exclusively designed as act of ibadah. Like, for example, I just said some examples like Salah, Zakat, Hajj, Umrah, Taraweeh, Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud, Salah, things like that.